Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ian, two things. Firstly, I think.
Do you?
Yeah, I think.
What's the second thing?
The second thing is, I think you're one of the nicest people in show business, because that's what I like to call it. I think you are. I think you're one of the nicest people in show business.
That's very kind of you to say. Thank you.
Because you've always been so friendly, and you've always been so nice, and you're friendly to everyone.
I feel like we're quite similar.
We just want people to love us.
I feel like you'd be like me if you were born working class.
And you'd be like me if you had a swimming pool.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even things like we went to a few function things, and we're always in the idiot bit of the queue who's not brought the pass with them. But you've never got a ticket to anything. I mean, you've got to say your name and they look down the list to get into the
That's what happened to us the other night. Ian and I, we bumped into each other at this thing called the Broadcaster Awards, and we didn't have our tickets.
This is my ticket, the money maker.
Yeah.
Whereas I was there going, oh, shit.
Yeah. You just went, what have I learned? Yeah.
I went, can I get in, please?
Yeah. Jamie deliberately doesn't bring his ticket just so that he can have that awkward conversation with
Send the text.
You don't know who I am.
Send the text.
But and then we got to the place there, and there was like, how many tables were there? There were so many tables.
It was ridiculous.
I mean, there were hundreds and hundreds of tables.
I think that's how they make, I'm guessing that's what it's one of those events where they probably nominate more people for awards than they maybe should, and allow those tickets, companies to buy tables to come along.
What, so they've got the most improved.
Most improved. That is a sign of our time. Yeah.
The person who was the nicest.
Was there a most improved?
No, there wasn't.
The production company that made the most. The production company made the most effort this year goes to.
That's what they now do at schools.
ITV Studios, who bought four tables along with them.
But the funny thing was, we went to the name list, and I went all the way down the list, and my name wasn't on it. My name was Spence. I was a Spence Matthews and myself, and we weren't on the list. So we had to just walk.
Can I just say, I was immediately allowed for it.
Yeah. We weren't on the
list. So your name was on it, yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Just in case. Yeah.
They were like, what, you, Raheem Sterling? That's what they thought. You don't look like Raheem Sterling. But we couldn't find my names, and so we had to walk around all of the hundreds of tables, hoping someone stopped us and went, oh, you're on our table. And it didn't happen until everyone had sat down, and we just looked at the emptiest table.
Didn't that happen at a wedding? You turned up and you weren't on the wedding.
You didn't show up to a wedding you weren't invited to.
That was the worst ever.
And he wasn't even wearing what you weren't wearing.
I wasn't wearing the right
stuff. You were wearing
stuff.
Like skinny jeans.
It was the most embarrassing.
Again, can I just say that is an absolute. I remember my partner inviting me to this thing. He said, "Oh, it's smart," and it was for our friend Ewan, who works for Fortnum and Mason.
Oh, McGregor, he's Scottish. Yeah, I knew you all know, yeah. Ewan McGregor?
No.
He's working at Fortnum and Mason now.
Which actually, anyway, it was an. She said, it's really nice. I took that to mean a checkered, a button. You see how I dressed casually, so I was like jeans and a checkered shirt.
Ooh, so
I
smart.
Jeans and a checkered shirt, and I showed up, and Laura was basically in a ball gown, and that's when I knew I have called this horrifically wrong. So we went to Liberty, do you know, in Covent Garden, got the lift to a floor that nobody knows exists, with just all these pictures of like Jamie's relatives on us. Like, do you know the ones where they're in like ridiculous, like,
yeah.
And I just, and it was like they'd had this like, they're having this like sushi, but they'd flown this guy over from like Japan to have like the best steak, and he brought out a black truffle that was like 10 grand. It was like grating this truffle, and everyone's in like dinner jackets and penguin suits and all this, and I'm just there with like a top man, not ironed, check shirt on,
with your button done up at the top, and just thinking that made you look smart.
Yeah, I'd done the extra button.
Yeah. I was, well, like, now I'm smart.
Babe, we'll get a bow tie on the way.
Hello everyone, welcome back to part two of Private Parts. We're here with Ian Sterling.
Got wait, you were going to tell,
wait,
you were
wait, yours is better.
Yeah. Okay, so I went to, I went to a wedding, and I was in, so what happened was...
I love that you're not invited, I went to a wedding.
Yeah, so I was in South Africa, and...
do you do anything in London?
Just fly around the world on my jet, just recording podcasts. No, I was in Cape Town, and we had a big party one night, and... this person said to me, it was like, oh, you should come to my wedding. And lots of my friends were going. So I took that as Bible. And I was like, oh, great. Yeah, well, I'll be there. And then my friend messaged me saying, oh, today's the wedding. And I was like, oh, God, I completely forgot. So I didn't have any clothes. So I had to wear skinny jeans with loafers and like a shirt and like a black tie and get like some crappy bow ties. I wasn't even anything. I missed the chapel service because I was too late because it was all the way in Norfolk. And actually, I got Norwich and
Norfolk in South Africa.
We're back in the UK now.
Where's the UK now?
Oh, they invited you in. So they invited you on a drunken night out in South Africa.
In South Africa, and then we came back to England. So it was a Christmas wedding, and it was all. And I went to.
So it was one of those immediately. It wasn't like the next again day.
No, it was like 2 months later.
Oh, okay.
So then
just to be clear, sorry. And in that 2 months, at no point you've texted them going, look.
No,
definitely.
You just assume.
I was like, of course they'll want me there.
Not even like they've not sent you a wedding list or like.
Well, their friends, like the cousin and the brother, like had sent me messages saying stuff. So I thought it was still on, and I just didn't really. And apparently,
the wedding's still on. Yeah. I'm going.
are they still getting married? Yes. Well, that must be because they want me along.
Anyway,
they must be holding their shit together so that I come.
I turned up. I firstly went to Norwich train station, which I thought was Norfolk.
Where the wedding was.
Which I thought it was in Norfolk, I went to the wrong train station.
You went to Norwich
instead of Norfolk train station, whatever it is. And that happened. So I then had to get a 45-minute taxi all the way there.
You didn't know you didn't have to. You could have got another train.
Hey, listen. Stop ruining a good story.
Norwich is in Norfolk.
It is in Norfolk, but there's a further one up.
Anyway, so carry on. Sorry, I will stop talking.
So then I got to the wedding and we got to the dinner. And I walked in. I was like, hello, everyone. They're like, oh, hi. And people were looking a bit surprised that I was there. But I thought, whatever. Just thought, oh, yeah.
Some people like the bride.
Yes, I am from the telly.
They thought. Oh my God, there's a celebrity here. When actually they're all thinking, there's a madman in jeans here.
And I went and I was like talking to my friend.
Were they all in like morning dress?
Yeah, they were in morning suits, yeah. And ball gowns. And I was wearing skinny jeans. I was like, I've really fucking underplayed this as well. And I went up to the list of all the names on the tables. God. And I wasn't on any table. And I was like, hang on a second, I'm all the way in Norfolk. It's like in the middle of nowhere.
So you had to scoop people up.
I couldn't find the name tag anywhere.
There was no, so you were, your name wasn't on the list of tables.
There was no list of tables.
I guess you don't know anyone particularly well at this
point. I knew a few people, but not many that well. And
not
I was
well
like,
enough to go, my name's not there, can you ask?
No, not well enough to go, I'm so sorry, I took your invite as Bible, and I'm now here, and I have nowhere to go, so can I please just join in?
I love that you said, you know no one well enough to say, I'm so sorry, I took your word as Bible, meaning I didn't know the groom well enough.
Yeah, so they had to... They went, they felt as in...
No, what do you mean, you've not... What have you done? This is so the important thing is what you've done.
her brother came over to me and I said, I'm not on the list. And they said, oh my God, you're not on the list. Well, I don't know what's happened. And I was taken over to the bride and, you know, it's her special day. She doesn't want to have to deal with pulling people out. And she said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. We must have forgotten that you were coming. Don't worry, we'll squeeze you up. So they had to push four gold rings. You know, five gold rings, that table. They had to scooze it up.
The ushers?
You know, not the ushers. We had to move everyone up. So I had to sit on the end. And it was the
most
horrific.
Also, the people
thing
on that table know for a fact they were the washed table. Yeah. That's the washed table.
But then what was even worse is then I had to find a place to stay afterwards because I had no one to stay.
What do you mean? That's not their fault. What did you think? Yeah. Well, they'd fucking give you accommodation. You thought you were doing a PA at their wedding. Hour? DJ for an hour?
I went up to the bride and I said, can I just get my $2,000 now?
Yeah. Look, no photos after 10. We discussed this. It's 1-4, then they move on. We've already talked about this.
Now, where's my room?
Yeah. Where did you think you were going to stay?
I thought we were in like a village. I thought I could get a taxi. I just didn't really think it through because the organisation skills.
Like you didn't think it through.
So then everyone was like, so at the end of the night, everyone was like, oh, we're going back to ours. And I went, oh, okay, I'm coming. And I just followed a group back to their house and fell asleep on the sofa in their house. Yeah.
And what did they think about that?
Well, they were like fine with it. They didn't care, but that was that's what happened. It was really intense.
Did you know them before you slept on the sofa?
I knew a few of them. Yeah, so it's actually right. But what about you? So, do you now live with your girlfriend?
Yes.
Is that a new thing that's happened?
Yeah, fairly.
Okay, well, how do you feel about it?
I lived on my own for it like forever.
Mm. So that's a huge step, right?
While you were together, there,
yeah. And then when I was single.
So it was a huge step, right, to suddenly go, right, I'm going to share something.
Do you live with your partner?
No, I did with my last partner and it was a disaster.
That's what I worry about because I'm like you. Like, I've shown up to, like, stag do's and, like, been like, where are we all staying tonight? And everyone's like, in the Airbnb. Where are you staying? And I'm like, oh, God.
That's exactly what happened. Yeah. Wait, why has no one booked me a place to stay? Why have you organised this without me?
I've literally been at a stag do in a nightclub with two girls who work behind the bar who said I could stay there till, like, while they were mopping up. Really? Because I've got to stag do. I'll tell you this story very quickly. So I was doing a stag do. It was a friend in Brighton, but I was filming in Glasgow. So it was the whole weekend, and I couldn't make the wedding, so I really wanted to make sure I made the stag do, right? So it was a whole weekend thing, and I was filming in Glasgow. So on the Sunday night, that was the only night I could make it. And it was this kids' TV show that I filmed, and we got to the airport, and I was like, it's a stag do. They're going to be absolutely hammered, so like drinking. Straight away, drinking.
So you're going in fully loaded.
Like, I'm doing that. I'm like on Instagram. Like, this is Operation Make the Stag Do. I'm getting drinks. I'm making the stag do. And then
thinking everyone's so caring.
And then I'm like drunk on a plane going, hey everyone, I'm going to my friend's stag do. And it's like Sunday night. Everyone's like in Glasgow to London. So everyone's like, we're just trying to get home. Yeah. And I'm like going to the air.
Hello.
I'm like that. Hi everyone. I'm off to a stag do. And then I get to give them like three whiskeys instead of like one. I'm like hammered. Then first thing, it was in Brighton. I think Brighton's really near like Luton or Gatwick or something.
Probably.
Yeah, I obviously went to like Heathrow. So now I'm like, I'm in London. And then they were like, you need to, I need to get to Brighton, but the trains weren't working. So I got in a black cab.
Oh, no.
From Heathrow to Brighton.
£200 or
something. £200.
It's more if you're like.
£200. Like, by the time I got to Brighton, all the money from that TV show in Glasgow was gone. Every last penny of it. I'm like £80 in debt from this filming day. I show up. My mate, who stagged it was, is sort of like, just like watching like musical, he used to like do musical theatre and stuff. So he's just like with his mates, they're all chilled, they've been at the night before, they just like played foot golf and like done a bit
of foot golf,
like just sport, and then like listen to some music and like chilled out.
What is foot golf?
You play golf but with a football and you kick it about. Oh. I don't really know.
I thought it was like you play golf with your foot.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, it's golf with
but
a
with,
foot.
I thought with a golf ball, but with a football.
With a football. Because a golf ball would be...
Is this a Scottish thing?
No, it's in Brighton. We're in Brighton, remember? Oh, right, okay, and it's cost... I mean, if it was a Scottish thing, I would have saved a lot of money. So then I show up hammered, but they're like not really been drinking. So I
really?
Loaded.
I made a start there. And they're like, oh, hey, man. So like, oh, how's the divorce? I'm like, oh, hey, Ian. And I'm like, bruh. So then we... But then a lot of them, the only thing they've not planned, they've got this whole amazing thing, is they haven't planned an evening thing. And we're like, I'm like, an evening in Brighton as a stag do.
Must be easy.
And none of them, but then they don't let big groups of guys in. And a lot of them hadn't brought ID. Like, I'm 40, I won't need it. And I'm like, if you're in Brighton and you're a group of lads and you're drunk, they're just going to not let you in.
Yeah.
So we eventually find this horrific bar, like the only place that will have us. Then we there till about half two in the morning. Then that's the thing I was saying. Then they all go, right, I think we're going to call it a night. And I'm... Rue it. And
you're
I'm ruined.
I'm ruined. Eat Brighton.
I'm ruined. I'm like, where are we going? And they were like, well, we're going to go to our Airbnb. And I was like, cool. Let's do that. And they were like, no, we text you about the Airbnb and you just never replied.
Oh, no.
And then you weren't here for the Friday, Saturday. So we assumed you weren't at the stag do. And I was like, oh, okay. And then they left. So I went back into the bar like hammered. And then these two girls walked by the bar were like, you can like stay, like the first train's like half six.
Oh my God.
You can just stay here. So I sat in a bar and I remember someone had ordered a Blue Wicked and changed their mind. So it was like, they didn't have to cash it through. So I sat with the Blue Wicked, well, two girls.
What's a Blue Wicked?
A WKD.
WKD. Oh, I didn't know. I've never heard it called
maybe
Wicked.
Maybe I've just done that now in my mind.
WKD, I know, yeah.
So I'm just sipping this Blue WKD while two girls clean up.
Blue Wicked.
And then I walked to Brighton train station and sat there for an hour and a half.
I had exactly the same. I remember I went to a party when I was 16 years old, and afterwards I used to date the girl, and her boyfriend really hated me. So everyone went back, we're in the middle of nowhere, everyone went back to her house and she said, you can't come with us. And I went, what? 16 years old. So me and Toby Ugansanya, who was my friend, he was actually a quad, he's one of four. They all look exactly the same. They were like, they're two girls and two guys, and they all look exactly the same.
Four babies in one go.
Jeez. And we went and sat in a field and fell asleep in the field with our jackets over us. And we got woken up in the farmer in the morning who chased us out of the field.
He chased you out? Yeah, and that's how you got woken up?
That's how I got woken up.
Did you not go home? Or was it too far away from
home? Too far away. We were 16 years old. We had nothing to do, you know? But also, the one thing we haven't touched on, which is so important, which is, I suppose, you know, most people in the country will know you for is
yes.
Love Island.
Love Island.
But does it? Because this is a right. Love Island. We all know it. We've all heard of it. If you haven't heard of it, you've disappeared from somewhere. But it is
been living under a rock.
yeah, that you've makes sense.
I love that's my new phrase. I love that you've disappeared from somewhere. But oh, where have you disappeared from?
But when they first came to you with it, ITV, and said, we want you to do the voiceover work for this new show, Love Island, it's coming back, we're doing a remake of it.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea how popular it was going to be, what it was going to be like?
Well,
how?
I was like, no. I said no.
You said no at the beginning?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, maybe not outright no, but I was like, I remember, and this sounds so silly now, because it's June, July, it's really near the Edinburgh Festival, and I was like...
I'll
not be able to make my show. And then it was I used to live with a comedian called Phil Wagg, very funny man.
It was eventually Phil Wagg
that went, I never thought of this way. He's like, you do the Edinburgh Festival to get jobs like this.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not doing jobs like this for the Edinburgh Festival, that is the wrong way around about it.
So true.
But also you're worried, aren't you? Because you're like, I wasn't then a huge reality TV fan. And as a comedian,
Connect yourself with that, you feel like it could tarnish you. Yeah.
It could, and it absolutely could have done. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know what I mean? But I think there's been a lot of change in that with, like, Joel going into the jungle and Love Island and, like, Rob doing, like, Celebs Go Dating and Joe doing, like...
Yeah, but I think you were the person to probably... You were actually probably the leader of that, taking that leap, because it's so true. Listen, you know, France and I have done reality. We know what reality TV does to your own brand. Taking that leap is a scary one because, you know...
it's one of those things where you could be tarnished. For sure.
If it had, my thinking was doing the voiceover was, if this is terrible, no one needs to know that I done it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do people recognise you facially or recognise your voice more?
I think the voice thing's happened more now. I definitely get that when it's so weird.
It's a weird thing to be recognised for your voice.
It happened, me and my sister, know that new sort of cool thing where they've sort of mini golf.
Foot golf.
I love variants of golf. I've just realised that. Every single one of my stories is like, it's like golf but in space. I was playing golf in space, and then it was like we're doing this little pitch and putt thing back in Edinburgh, and I was speaking to my sister, and yeah, the girl that worked there, I was like, oh, can I have a beer please? They were like, oh my god, have you? And even my own sister was like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
So she said, oh my god, are you
Love Island guy?
Because I've on the phone to like my bank, someone recognised my voice, but probably also my name.
Because they were looking at all of your details.
My name is Francis.
No, it's not my bank. No, it was like my electricity, whatever.
Someone
ran and were like, oh, you sound familiar.
Yeah, they do, right? People must ask you, can you record this message for my ringtone or record for a wake up call?
That's a great idea. Can you record my voicemail?
I mean, I've actually could do that. I need to get it all set up in my house so I can just do all these messages for money. People do ask that, because the one thing I'll get is, because I don't mind getting a photo or something, but sometimes I'll be on the tube and someone will be like, oh, can you say it? And I'm like, obviously I'm not going to do that because we're on
a tube.
So
what do you do? So you say, I'm not doing that, and you're standing awkwardly
I'll have a photo, but I'm not like shouting like,
send the text.
John's getting married in March. Like, I'm not doing it.
Is it awkward you saying, look, no, I'm not.
But then sometimes I will, like, maybe, but what blows my mind is, I don't know if you've heard this, is like, when people get annoyed at you for like not, people rude, and I'm like, well, you just sort of came up to me demanded I do my job.
Has now voiceover work become one of your, because you do incredible stand-up, and you are so, your stand-up is so funny.
Thank you.
It's freaking, and every, you made, your tour was pretty much sold out, wasn't it?
Yeah, some of it was, yeah.
Yeah, it was all
I'm
sold
trying
out.
To learn to accept compliments. It's such a British thing.
Yeah.
And
we can't. Yeah.
The tour was absolutely dog shit. I don't know why I will feel like the need to say that.
So what's great actually for you is that probably a lot of people have you know, discovered you from Love Island.
Yes.
And then have said, oh, who is doing this voice? Then basically found your stand-up.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, that's how they've kind of...
I think that's nice. I think that's the sort of thing is, like, you almost feel like some people build up an audience. I feel like I've been given an audience and now I slowly whittle them down.
Yeah.
You really refine the audience.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean?
Some of you will last.
Yeah.
You're like the Marines.
Sometimes, like, I used to find that when I'd done kids, like, when I still do kids TV. My dog ate my homework, yeah. But when I'd done, like, full-time kids TV and I'd done stand-up, and my stand-up's obviously rude in the kids TV, I would find this thing where, like, it was really funny where like a teenage girl would like her big brother would have to bring her to the gig because like do you mean she's 16 so she needs something, and it'd be that really funny moment when I started where she would be like, oh, why is that sweaty weird man, and then the brother would be like, I thought this was going to be shit but this guy's mental.
So you've turned your
old. So I'm like, I'm fucking and I'm wanking and I can't remember my childhood, and the girl's like, this is not what I was expecting, and I just see this like 18-year-old bloke like, fucking hell, this is brilliant. So I find that happens sometimes.
But does that, so do you have a, do you think you have a sort of psychological complex sometimes where you're meant to be sort of on television, you're very sort of family orientated, where you're the voice of Love Island, and you do my daddy.
I wouldn't say that's family or. I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it's in a sort of like, it's a mass appeal entertainment.
Yeah. But huge exposure.
Yeah.
But perhaps you've actually done it the best way around, where in fact you've got that kind of mass kind of like appreciation from sort of family vibe, but then also your stand up is very much centered towards sort of a different demographic.
But also, you can very much get your personality and your humour into your commentary.
I think definitely Love Island now is, from like, you listen to series 1 to series 4, like you can tell that like they trust us to do the jokes ourselves, and there's more of my voice in it.
And so how does it work? Do you get sent the episode? Because it must be
I went out and saw Ian out there, so I was doing the After Sun, which is the sort of extra factor to X Factor, and you go out there, it is a huge set, as you can imagine. There are caravans everywhere, and Ian sits in a caravan in the dark for about 4 months, whatever it is, just doing it.
Just in a little booth that they've made out of like MDMF.
But then for the rest of the time, you're basically just hanging out on the beach.
But yeah, but I mean, 6 days a week we're working.
Yeah, it's kind of non-stop, I suppose.
Yeah, one day a week I get a boat. One day a week.
And do what with the boat?
Just go off and do on my own.
This is your boat.
Do you go fishing on the boat?
Do you know what? I'm going to do that next time. It's the deep sea solitude.
Well, I seem to remember that you told me once that you like fishing. Is that wrong?
No. Yes. I, for a split second, I thought I'd, but no, I've never said that out loud in my entire
life.
Did
you say that to me?
No.
You're thinking of someone else.
Who else do you know that's Scottish?
I don't know. I just thought.
Who else do you know that's Scottish?
My family, they're Scottish. They like fishing. But it's interesting, you know, because you do your Love Island stuff, you come up and you get your audience there, which is amazing. And I think that's what happened with Francis and I, and what a lot of people, what a lot of comedians strive for, right, is to gain an audience. But what is incredibly lucky is that, you know, so I did my first stand-up gig the other day, and even though that was sort of done for me, we already have an audience, which is a really valuable thing.
I suppose you've got to go the other way as well. I got lucky in that when Love Island happened, and I went from doing, like, on my tour that finished at Christmas last year, I done a 50-seater room in Brighton and the Apollo. How much of Apollo?
Wow. Yeah.
Like, because the tour evolved that much with
you
the pop.
Did you sell out the Apollo?
Yeah, I got there about
like 3,500 people.
But like the thing about that is, it's more just the mad idea of like, that's how the speed with which the difference is, when that all happened, I had 10 years of stand-up, and I'd done 6 Edinburgh shows. I had 6
so
hours
a huge,
of material.
Huge arsenal of material.
Whereas it must be hard for you guys starting out, because you've got this weird responsibility now, where if you wanted to, you two could probably do a stand-up show and do 40 minutes each and sell tons of tickets, but it might not be the quality.
So that's the thing. That's why I kept it under the radar for quite a long time. So I just wanted to like kind of hone my material
and that's how you know you're in it for the long. Like a lot of people.
Yeah,
in your
I was
position,
the opposite. Yeah, no. I was really.
Oh yeah,
shocked
no, no. You're. I was really the shocked comedy store. Everyone knows about it with Jack Whitehall. Yeah.
But it was an insane experience, and it was for Bernardo's, which is an incredible charity. And Tom Lucy, who's friends with all of us, organised the event, and he came on the podcast and asked me if I wanted to do it, and I said, "Yeah, let's do it and live up to it." But I think it's one of those. It is one of those times in your life that you kind of just get where you sort of almost get pushed towards and go, "Oh, I'll just do it. Why not? I'll give it a go." But I now feel like how, you know, Francis, you feel and in how you feel. God, the buzz of it is incredible.
But then the lows of it are fucking grim. And the weird thing about it is, when you first start properly touring, but say you're on your own because you don't, you know, you get like 50 people in a room and that'll pay your petrol or whatever. The mad thing is to go from you do a gig to like say 100 people and it goes really well for like an hour and a half and you're like buzzing, then you just get in a car and drive 4 hours home. Like it's weird. Like you're on your own all day.
Because I live out in Wiltshire, so I do a lot of gigs in London, and then drive back to Wiltshire. So and obviously
you can't even have like a drink.
Often on my own. Yeah, I mean, and so I'm just driving like buzzing or in like total like like kicking myself because I.
Well, that's but
so it's like very much like it's the highs and lows. Like you either feel amazing or you feel like so angry at yourself for like fucking something
but
up.
But that's that's why the stereotypical comedian, they always talk about they have a lot of sort of depression and things like that. It's because you have those highs and lows mixing in with your industry, and you're very much sort of happy on how you are received, right? Which is a kind of on your own validation, which is a tricky thing.
Well, it's also like as a stand-up, you're like a actor or something, or a sketch show, or doing improv. You've got other people, or you've got a script, or this plays shit, whatever. If you're a stand-up comedian, it doesn't go well. You're like, oh, they didn't like me.
Yeah.
I tried my best, and they didn't like it.
Yeah,
but it was. I mean, I just decided to go up there and just talk about sex and just talk about the fact that it was my first time ever doing stand-up comedy. And so
example, the thing that blew my mind is when you knew as well, you'll have done like some one-liners or whatever, and I'm like, you showed up to a wedding that you weren't invited to, and that wasn't the first thing you'd done a stand-up.
But it was an amazing buzz. It was really interesting. It was incredible. And I just think I've never had in my life, I don't think, apart from when France and we did our tour, but we did it with each other, where you, and you've Ian, had this for 10 years, where you've done it. You can see it on the, when you go to Edinburgh, which I found so amazing, and you watch people win the awards, you realise how much it means to them because it's just you.
Yeah,
it's like when tennis players win Wimbledon or whatever. It's just them doing it. So it's all your writing, it's all your effort, it's all you up there. There's no one else. Like, there's no one coaching you through it.
Well, I think like it is quite. It's an empowering thing because it's you're writing, performing, directing your performance, creating and refining your act. So it is a personal thing to like get.
There's a lovely immediacy to it as well.
The feedback and it's not like imagine. So like imagine if you had a product, a consumer good, where you could get immediate feedback from every customer every time you sold it. That's what I feel like comedy is that because you're getting that immediate feedback, so you can slowly refine it over.
Also, it's like you can if I said something funny on this podcast, I could then tonight just rock up to a pub somewhere and be like, yeah, I'll give it a go again in front of an audience. I love that. I've always had that thing about, I like things that don't require any like set, anything that involves any setup or messing about. I'm not interested in it.
Just turn up. No, it's cool.
Because like, again, maybe ties into like, or lack of organisation. I would just show up without anything that I needed. Like I have like gone to like a concert and been like, shit, I've not brought the violin.
But it's so I think the naivety in things is actually your strongest weapon, right? Yeah. I was practicing on a Sky remote control in my flat, thinking this is all right. But then you went into comedy club, didn't realize there's 450 people there, had no idea what I was doing. But that naivety actually gets you through it because you almost sort of fumble your way through it.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think I could start stand up now. That's why I admire you guys.
Why though? Why that?
Because I was 19. I was like, I just done it.
Well, that's what I mean, right? Yeah.
I was like, I just went up. Yeah. I've got that horrible, I'm aware now of what other people think. And I'd be like, oh God. And even now if I'm doing, I hate doing new material nights because normally there's other comedians in the room. And I just literally feel like I'm doing a gig to three comedians.
I did a new material night on Monday and it was, I think 20 people, pretty much all comedians.
Yeah, it's horrible.
That's horrendous because they're all judging you on your timing.
Yeah, you feel they probably couldn't give a fuck. But in your head, you're like, they all definitely think I'm shit, and they're gonna tell everyone, and everyone's gonna.
Oh, that would suck.
And I did an entire I forced myself to just do an entire new 5 minutes of like just completely new material, and some of it worked, but it's definitely like I think you need to test it in front of.
Comedians are not the sort of people to test material.
Don't do your material on comedians. Right, Francis, on that note, we need to have the answer to the question of the week.
This is an interesting one. The question was, if you remember...
I don't think me or Jamie remember the
question. Well, how was it? Sucralose.
Oh, sucralose.
Sucralose, yeah.
And you both said...
You same
said
thing.
Ian's answer.
It was a laxative.
Yeah.
They tried it in a liquid and they found that it sweetened the liquid.
Yeah, that was my answer too.
So, do you know what? You're not completely wrong.
Oh, Ian Sterling.
But not right.
You're completely wrong because you just stole his answer.
Okay, well, KK, what is the answer?
Okay, so they were doing a medical trial.
Oh.
And the guy came in, one of the test subjects, thought that he was doing a taste test, and so drank the thing that was meant to be injected into him.
Oh, right.
And said, oh, that's really sweet.
Are you serious? Yeah. I love that.
And that's not miles off.
That's not miles off at all.
No.
I love that.
But it wasn't. He wasn't supposed to drink it. It was going to be like.
I said that. I said it was meant to be a medicine.
Yeah.
And he drank and it tasted sweet. I said that.
Yeah, but that he said that.
No,
first.
He said it was meant to be a laxative.
Yeah, but that is a medicine.
Yes, but that is a medicine.
Shut up. right, Francis, we need to have your diary, buddy. Let's have it.
Oh, okay.
We are excited.
It's very short.
That's okay. We like a little short one. Let's do it.
Monday. So this was 2 years ago.
This is two years ago
because this was we've been doing this for 2 years.
2 years, 2 year anniversary.
Is this a two year anniversary?
You're our first episode in our third year.
And how weird that we're all the same.
No, you're not our first episode in our third year. You're off that perch again, sorry mate.
It's like fucking Alan Turing.
You're just another piece of cattle coming up. Yeah, you're just another person.
Just another bit of content.
Just another cog. Just another nook to our cranny. You're just another cook. To spoil our broth.
Thank you. So what is this thing?
Okay, so this is Monday from 2 years ago.
Okay, go. Let's hear what you're doing.
I woke up from another dream in which I was painting the flat. I suppose it has been on my mind quite a bit, and I'm guilty of being particularly excited about the colour palette. Pigeon and green smoke and white tie. From Farrow and Ball to paint your picture.
I can't believe you were ever on Made in Chelsea. I've got a headache there from laughing so much.
I get that sometimes.
Hey, so do
our
listeners.
That's all of your memories coming back.
So does the listener. But get that checked out.
Yeah, our logo should be, listen to this and you'll get a headache.
Well, it's actually genuinely sorry.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Are you like me, a bit of a hypochondriac? When you feel like a pain somewhere, do you freak out?
No, what's the opposite? If I get something that's probably life-threatening, I think I'll just ignore that.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah, Francis is very like
I had sore kidneys for about 5 years and it just stopped one day and I've never been to see anyone about it.
Yeah.
That's cause.
Yeah, I thought I was dying for like 3 years and I didn't.
I used to wake up and my kidneys were like on fire.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Was it kidney stones?
I couldn't sit, I don't know. It just stopped and I've never thought about it since.
You're going to walk down the street one day and you're just going to explode.
I'll just put it in my subconscious along with my childhood.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. Lock it up and throw away that key.
Well, I'm definitely forgetting about that.
Never come back to bite me in the ass. Although every time I laugh now, I go, my vision goes blurry and I feel like I'm going to die. But apart from that, we're all good.
It is getting a bit repetitive now, this flat painting dream. I hope that I won't repeat any of the same mistakes I've made in my dream rehearsals, like painting over the windows, which was counterproductive. I did actually paint over the windows, I remember that dream. When I actually do get round to painting the flat, which I never did actually. Well, I did a bit, but didn't finish it. And then I moved to Wiltshire. I hope I will dream of something else less mundane and not be stuck endlessly repainting like Sisyphus pushing his boulder up the hill. So don't worry about that.
Straight over my head.
Another scene that got cut from me.
I had some errands to run before my lunch meeting, so I got my jogging gear on and decided to run all my errands. Literally. I like to hit the ground running on a Monday, figuratively and literally. After the bank and the post office, I had to go pick up an ironing board from Katie's flat. Jogging home in my Lycra, I wondered if I might appear like to passers-by like a very confused surfer.
Is that it?
With my ironing board.
Was that it?
Oh, well, maybe I'll iron some of Katie's laundry to be helpful. Surf's up, bras.
Hey, I like that. Hey, like that. Oh, damn, buddy. 2 years ago. Hey, Ian Sterling.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're an absolute G, buddy. You finished your tour at the moment?
Yeah, I've got nothing. I just came for the love.
Listen, you are working your way up that perch.
Follow me on Instagram.
Instagram. You're hilarious on Instagram. Ian Sterling, very simple. On Twitter as well.
Ian Sterling?
No.
No?
No.
It's not Ian Sterling.
Ian.
I-A-I-N.
I-A-I-N. Does jokes.
Does jokes. Ian does jokes.
Ian does jokes.
And also, dude, listen, you know, Love Island wouldn't be the same without your voice.
That's true,
it's
actually.
It really is. And you're doing so many things.
Not just your voice, but your humour.
You also got My Dad Ate My Homework.
The dog ate my homework.
The dog ate my homework.
You're thinking of My Dad Ate a Porno. Yeah.
My dad ate a porno.
I would listen to that podcast. My dad ate a porno. Like, fuck, I'm in. How did he even manage it?
But dude, you're one of the funniest people I know, and you're one of the nicest people I know.
If you've got a kid, watch The Dog Ate My Homework. That's the thing I can. Yeah, do you know what?
It's really good.
It's really funny.
What is it? I haven't seen it.
It's a panel Forgive show. Me. It, no, it's fine. It's literally okay. For people under the age of 12.
So that's why you've seen it.
He thought it was Newsnight.
Just watching the news.
See what's happening in the world recently.
It's a panel show. I'm the host, but the team captains are like 10-year-olds.
Ah, that's quite
so fun. It just means everyone's trying to help everyone else, you know?
But you also have your book?
Oh, yeah, Not Ready to Adult Yet.
Not Ready to Adult Yet.
So
that's
go
good...
and grab it.
You grab that book.
Is it in paperback yet?
No, but it is coming out very soon.
Oh, is it a self-help book?
There we go.
It's not. It's about... It's basically all the times where you should write the same book, basically. It's all the times when I fucked up. Like, I'm so useless at being a grown-up. I do it horrifically wrong.
There's lessons in that, right?
Yes.
I'm just going to get your book and rewrite it in Southern language and just sell it.
Yeah, you honestly, in Southern language.
Yeah, in the Southern language. Ian Sterling, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. What we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Something inspirational.
Did you not know about that?
Yeah, I did. The funny thing is...
People always seem to forget.
The funny thing is, it's so true. It's so funny you say that because I've listened to this podcast so many times and every time it catches the person at the end and I go, you knew that was coming up. And then you've done it to me and I've literally gone, oh, I've not given this a sec, a minute. Probably, if you know something's coming up, prepare for it.
Ian Sterling, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. See you next week. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.